He is the defender, our defender, the defender for us when we are weak and we need to be strengthened. In the precious name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn to our text for today, the one that Pastor read for you a few moments ago, a reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If you're a visitor with us this evening and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious Word throughout the week. May God bless my speaking now and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Tonight, as we focus on Jesus' Word for us, as we focus on our text, we are reminded, we are called to live lives in service to the Savior. And being a follower of Jesus, being one of Jesus' disciples, is not always an easy thing to do. Let me have you hear me say clearly tonight, I believe the days are coming when it will be increasingly difficult to live for Christ in the United States. There are many in the world today, around the world, who suffer because of Jesus. There are many people, as Pastor mentioned earlier, who suffer and will be praying for those in the hurricane's wake. There are many who suffer poverty and illness all over the world, and that's true. We care for them, we care about them, and sometimes we suffer in those same ways. But the suffering I want to talk with you about tonight is the suffering we do, the suffering that Christians do around the world because they are believers in Jesus. Not the kind of suffering which all people know, but because they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember not long ago in the news how 24 men knelt in the sand, their heads covered with orange hoods. Those men, one after the other after the other, were beheaded by evil, hateful, murderous men who believe things other than what Jesus teaches us. Any of those men at any moment could have renounced the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, that's what those ISIS members asked them all to do. Give up, renounce Jesus. And any of those men could have crossed their fingers and said, I don't believe in Jesus. They could have been freed and then later on said, well, I do after all. But you know, that's not what happened. What those dedicated, faithful followers of Jesus did was to kneel in the sand. And one after the other, they lost their lives because they were followers of Christ. God calls us through our text tonight to endure. To endure hardship when it comes. And when it comes, to keep focused on Jesus. You see, that's what the old pastor, Paul, told the young pastor, the young man, Timothy. In our text for tonight, if you're looking along, he tells him, son, not his literal son, but his son in the faith, son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? God's riches, all of God's riches, at Christ's expense, be strong in these, in the forgiveness of sins, in the faith which God's Spirit gives you. Be strong and steadfast. Know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and in his life and death and resurrection, you are assured that you are his son, you are his daughter, you are his followers. And he calls Timothy, this young pastor, to be strong in the faith that he's heard, that the Holy Spirit has placed in his heart. Be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy, because you will need that strength. You will need the strength that comes in Christ Jesus in the days that are to come. See, Paul knew exactly what he had talked about. Paul knew the difficulties through which Paul himself went because he was a follower of Christ. In the New Testament, there's a whole litany of the things that Paul suffered because he was a believer. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He went hungry and ill-clothed. He was thirsty. All of these things because he was a believer in Jesus and called to live out his faith, called to go places where he had no choice to go. But in God's grace, God helped him to be strong so that Paul could speak the message of Christ, so that God could proclaim that message to Timothy and many others. And that's what our text says. Timothy, you've heard this in the hearing of all these witnesses, this message of Christ, this message of God's love and the forgiveness which is ours in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you know it. You've heard it. You've been saved by that message. Now entrust that message to faithful men and women who will preach and teach that word so that others too might see and hear and believe and be saved, so that they too could become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would know God's love and in turn love him and then serve him and live for him. Paul uses for us, I think, and for Timothy, three very good illustrations. First, Paul tells Timothy, be a good soldier. Be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Onward Christian Soldier. I think of these stand up for Christ. Stand up for Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, be a good soldier of the faith. Be ready. Be on alert, be on guard, and be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Timothy that no soldier is double-minded. What a soldier does is dedicates himself or herself to training, to hard work. A soldier is focused on their mission. And ultimately, in our text, that soldier wants to please the commanding officer, to carry out his duty, to perform it well, to function at the level which the commander expects, so that the mission can be accomplished. That mission is living for Jesus. Timothy, men and women here, boys and girls here, live like a soldier, not divided their attention to other things, but focused on the mission of Christ, the mission of knowing him and sharing him with all the world, so that we can please our commanding officer, our Lord Jesus. A second illustration and example that Paul gives Timothy and gives us is the athlete. Every athlete, Paul tells Timothy, wants to stay and knows to stay in the bounds, in the lines, if you will, to follow the rules. And the reason that that racer in this case wants to do that is because he or she has their eyes finished or focused on the finish line. It's the prize for which they're looking. God calls us to that prize, which is in the upward call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the athlete I mentioned to the children a moment ago, who focuses on winning, who works hard, who trains, who goes through difficulties, Paul tells Timothy, and God through Timothy tells us, that we are to be those kind of athletes, to run the race of Christian living, to be dedicated and focused and hardworking every day because we see the finish line ahead. We don't know whether that finish line will come early in our lives or sometime long down the road, but we know the finish line is coming, and Jesus wants us by his strength and power, by his Holy Spirit, to cross that finish line to live with him forever. Paul gives a third illustration, and that's the illustration of the hardworking farmer. I don't know how many of you are from farm families, but I've been surprised here at Holy Cross through the years how many have farm connections. Many are farm-related families. and you know what it's like to work on the farm. It's hard work, back-breaking work, from early in the morning to late at night, all year long, preparing the soil, planting the seed, cultivating and harvesting and storing and working on machinery, and the list goes on and on and on. And what Paul tells Timothy is that the farmer, the hard-working farmer, should be the first one to receive the fruits of their labors. Then Paul says something interesting. It's almost cryptic. He says, by God's Spirit, God will help you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying as a soldier of Christ. What I'm saying as an athlete who works and prepares and runs hard the race and then receives the prize. That grain, who is themselves the farmer who works for the harvest and receives then the prize, the gift of eternal life. As you work hard, the farmer receives what's due him because he's worked for it. And God will give us not what we deserve, not what we earn, but His grace. What we talked about at the beginning, remain strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The riches that God has for you, Timothy, the riches that God has for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, remain strong in this. And as you remain strong, as you endure in the faith, endure hardships, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus, who lived an earthly life. Jesus, who died at the hands of sinful men for sinful mankind. He died for you and me. That same Jesus, Paul tells Timothy, who was raised from the dead. This same Jesus is the one who's of the line of David, the one promised from before the beginning of creation, the one promised in Genesis to Adam and Eve, the one who would come as Savior of the world. Paul says to Timothy, that's what life is all about as a Christian soldier. It's about the gospel. What do we mean? Well, the gospel is the good news. Not any news, not any good news, not every good news, but specifically, the gospel is the good news that Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for the whole world, but you need to know and believe that Jesus died for you. A personal confession of your faith and what God is doing in His Spirit, by His Word, in your life. Paul said, it's for this reason, for the sake of the gospel, that I find myself as a prisoner in chains. But ultimately and finally, I will be released from these chains. Whatever hardship, whatever persecution, whatever difficulties I may face, I know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, my chains will be broken. I will be free. Free from earthly persecution and free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus does this. The grace of Jesus does this, in which Paul lived, in which Timothy lives, and in which you and I live. In our text, Paul speaks about this faithful and worthy saying. He says in our text for tonight, this is a faithful and worthy saying, a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, with Jesus, we will also live with Jesus. If we endure, we will also reign with Jesus. If we disown Him, if we don't speak in truth, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will not claim us before the Heavenly Father. He cannot disclaim Himself, because He is truthful and faithful and just. He calls us to live for Him and, if necessary, to die for Him. I believe that also means through the waters of baptism, like the children again this evening, received by the waters of baptism. The old Adam dies in that water, and the new person is brought forth to live as His disciple, as His children. Paul calls Timothy, and Jesus calls us to endure. To be an athlete involves hard work. to continue to run the race of Christian living. As Paul did, so we are called to do. And he says we do this all for the sake of the elect. We do this so that Jesus lives in us. We are part of the elect. We are those who believe in Jesus. And because we do, we live for him now as his follower, and we will live with him forevermore. We don't do it just for ourselves. We do it for others too, so that they can see our example. They can learn from us that Jesus makes himself real in our words and in our actions, so that his word breaks the power of sin and death and discredits and displaces the devil. God bless you and me, brothers and sisters, as we endure hardship as followers of Christ, always, always keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. May God give you that strength and hope and peace and grace as you live in the Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his great grace. Amen.